The following programming is sponsored by Bloomer's Home and Garden Center. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Bloomers in the Garden. I'm Len Schroeder.
And I'm Julio Zamora.
Landscaping with grasses can be tricky. In our first segment, we'll tell you how to use them in the landscape and how to care for them and what are some of our favorites.
There is a 150-pound pest that can devour a flower garden in one night. Len and I will discuss flowers and shrubs you can grow without the fear of deer in our second segment.
In our third segment, we're sounding the alarm. You better get your sprayer out. If you don't get your sprayer out now, you're going to miss the opportunity to control bagworm. We'll tell you what you need to do in our third segment.
The most popular butterflies people want to attract are monarchs and swallowtails. We'll profile each during our fourth segment.
What's bugging you? Cucumber beetles are bugging me. A pest and disease carrier? Here's what you can do to avoid the cucumber beetle. Hear all about it in our final segment.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back in the garden right after these messages. Bloomers in the Garden is brought to you each week by Bloomers Home and Garden Center. Bloomers is an award-winning garden center just 20 minutes from Philadelphia. Bloomers has been providing expert advice turning brown thumbs green for over 30 years. At Bloomers, we want you to ask us every question, even if you think it's silly. We share information in a friendly, non-judgmental way that is meant to teach and spread the joy of gardening. Visit Bloomers Home and Garden Center in Washington Township, Gloucester County. For directions, go to bloomers.com, and we'll see you in the garden. Fertilome's Triple Action contains 70% neem oil and 0.25% pyrethrins as a concentrate and ready to spray. It is an insecticide, fungicide, and miticide labeled to use on vegetables, fruits, nuts, herbs, spices, and ornamentals. This organic OMRI-listed product controls a wide variety of insect pests and diseases, including aphids, scale, spider mites, white flies, rust, leaf spot, and powdery mildew. This insecticide is an all-in-one bottle that will cure just about any problem you may run into throughout the year. Fertilome's Triple Action has been helping gardeners across the country for years. Best to apply in late evening and early morning hours. Mix 1 ounce, which is equivalent to 2 tablespoons in a gallon of water. The best part is, Triple Action may be used up to the day of harvest. So, the next time you are visiting your favorite garden center, ask for Fertilome's Triple Action and expect to have the best-looking plants in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. We often talk about landscaping, and whether it's gardening for with flowers or landscaping, it's all about color, texture, and form. And one of the textures that you can get from grasses is a nice, airy, a softer touch to the landscape. But you know what? If you use them the wrong way, all of a sudden it looks like, is that a weed or is that a, my gosh, you should probably pull that out. Yeah. So if you're using grasses incorrectly, they're just going to look like a mess.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? Like how do you do it? One thing is make sure that the sizing's right. Like you have to use your comparative size to the landscape that you have and what you're trying to do. I've talked the last few weeks about the deck that we built, and I need to landscape around it. And that where the sharp corners, like where the deck is square, using a large grass, you know, something large. Like, I mean, there's some pampas grass to get to be like 10 feet tall.
Yeah, you don't want to.
They will not be in my yard. But some of the other smaller grasses that are probably about 3 foot, they're going to be there. And that you can plant them in groups instead of just planting one by itself. You plant them in a cluster of three. And that will certainly make it look, and you don't want them too close because you don't want them to look like one plant. Like, you know how like when you plant like azaleas in front of the house and you plant a group of azaleas, they end up looking like one plant. You don't want that. You want these to look like they're independent and that they're three different individual plants. So make sure you give them some elbow room, right?
Yeah.
Again, you can split them.
Yeah,
if they get too big,
you
take a shovel and separate them.
Right in the center there.
Yeah, and you can pull it out, plant them someplace else.
Yeah.
Usually in the fall, I would do that. I wouldn't do that in the spring.
No,
you know, don't be crazy. Don't be nutty, because you don't want to try to get splits that are so small, and you get more splits, and then you end up killing the plant, and you don't have anything left.
Yeah, they
so,
dry out or
you know, just take it easy. Yeah. Split them in half, and that's enough. Don't be trying to put them into quarters and like, I'm going to have a whole landscape. My whole yard's going to have them. Yeah, they'll be all dead, and so you'll lose the one that you wanted. Soften hardscaping. I am going to say it right now.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like the ArmorTech pavers. Okay. I like ArmorTech pavers just simply because they don't have that same look that you get, like that concrete look that you get with some other pavers. But I'm still not a huge fan of pavers. I like the idea of having natural clay bricks and using them as a walkway. Call me nutty.
Yeah, well.
Call me crazy. But I just do. And I guess it's my house is a colonial. I do have pavers in the front and I have brick in the back.
Yeah.
And I have to make a new pathway. And I'm probably going to end up using, of all things, I'm going to use like 2x2 bluestone.
Ooh, nice.
And that I'm not going to have brick or pavers. But the thing is that I really... It's how do I soften that up so that it doesn't look so stark? You know, it's like you've got the straight angles of the deck and you've got the straight angles of the bluestone. And I'm going to soften that up with some grasses.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be nice.
You know, so again, it's a great area because it also makes it feel a little cooler and it looks, and again, with that shade tree I talked about last week.
Mm-hmm. And you're near you have a pool too, so it's near that.
Yep. You don't want to look at my pool. Hey, anybody who has a pool and they have had kids that have graduated high school, are you still using the pool or is the pool kind of just a pain in the neck to have to take care of?
Yeah.
I would say the latter, but
I wouldn't think so.
Call the hotline. Let me know what I should do with my pool.
Well, now that you have a grandson.
That's true. You know, he's a month old.
You know, start him young.
He's not going to. That's right. Yeah. And as I get older, the pool, you know, it could be the right temperature. Everybody thinks it's warm.
Uh-huh.
I go in and it's like, oh my gosh, no. It's freezing.
Not going to work.
Anyway, grasses are another good thing around like a pool, like you're saying. Well, they don't attract bees.
No, they don't.
You know, with a lot of flowers. We get this all the time. What flowers don't attract bees?
Yeah, which one is that one?
None. There's some bee that likes it.
Right.
But again, it goes back to even using them in containers.
Oh, yeah.
Using grasses in containers, they look great.
Yeah.
They look great.
Yeah.
We have a lot of grasses that we use in mixed containers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're putting in your petunias, you're reaping petunias, and you have your upright upright plants that aren't weeping like the petunias. You add a grass in that container, and it just, you know, makes it look actually cooler, as in a temperature way, not necessarily. Mm. But I guess it also adds as in cooler, as like, you know,
cool.
Hip.
Okay. Okay.
You know, that's a HIPAA word. Don't make fun of me, Aaron. All right. Edging. Putting like a blue fescue along the edge of a landscape looks very cool, because the blue fescue, they come back reliably. They have a color that, and again, it's all about texture. It gives you that blue color along with that soft texture that will help with the edge of a landscape bed.
I had a customer come in yesterday. He came from Italy, and he told me about, he told me about the fescue. He's like, you know, I saw this grass. It's blue. Blah, 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 blah. I said, I know which one it is.
Yeah, we got it.
And he has said he saw it in masses, and it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can. You can absolutely plant different types of grasses. And that brings up, before we go, I planted for my friend and dentist a hedge for grasses to block a neighbor that he had, and it was down the shore, and it was just one of those things where it needed to, they needed some separation, you know, because like when one of them would come out of the thing, it was like, it's like, I don't want to see that guy, you know, and it was just, you know, it was like, did you see the movie, something Otto? Help me, Aaron. What's the name of the movie? Tom Hanks movie. Otto, anyone? Sam?
What's the
Tom here? Hanks movie? Otto something.
I don't know.
I don't
Top
either.
Gun?
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks.
Sorry. It's Cruise, right?
He's got the
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's going to be
Man, that's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
I'm going to look it
something
up.
Something Otto. Something, and Otto, it's his wife.
He's like a grumpy
died.
Old man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that was kind of like that. Trying to like that, where the guy's wife or whatever. I don't.
That's what I should know.
Man Called Otto.
Man Called Otto. That was a great movie. That was a very good movie. Hit a little too close to home.
So that hedge is going to soften it. You know, it can be soft too.
Right.
That's nice.
So, all right, moving on. What is your favorite grass, Julio?
The blue fescue is really. I want to put that in like the
really?
Customer said. Yeah.
Come on.
Like massive.
That's your give me. I need more than that.
I love blue.
Yeah. I love blue.
Yeah.
But it's like an easy one. That's like, you know.
Really easy.
Like, what about like, you know.
You want something hard?
A penicetum or like the pink muley.
Oh, that's pretty. Yeah. I had the Carl Forster.
There you go. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now, so one of my favorite is Little Bunny.
Little Bunny.
Which is a penicetum. It's a little dwarf thing. That doesn't get real big, more nice and mounded. There's zebra grass, which has like stripes in it, and very bold in color, and it gets kind of big as 5 feet tall. So you got to be aware of that. Yeah. Be aware of dwarf pampas grass.
Yeah,
dwarf pampas grass gets to be 5 to 6 foot, so it's not really like it's dwarf, but it doesn't like it's big daddy. It doesn't get to be, you know, ten feet.
Yeah.
And which also that variety is not hardy in this area. I will have some of our southern brethren will on our airwaves will say, oh, I get it to grow, come back every year, but not everybody. Hardy fountain grass, that's a penicetum, so that's right in there, that little bunny. Mm-hmm. Carl Forrester's in that same one. Maiden grass. You know, when you think of grasses, ornamental grasses, like, that's maiden grass.
Yeah, it's pretty. You know? That's a pretty grass.
It is. And it's really the cool thing about grasses. Mm-hmm. And like penicetum, there's a little bunny. It's dwarf fountain grass. The thing about grasses is they get a foxtail or they get that plume that kind of shimmies
soft.
In the wind.
Yeah,
you know, when they get a little bit of a breeze, it catches that breeze and it's dancing in the wind. So it doesn't only give you that softness of the texture there, but it also adds a little element of movement in the landscape.
That's a nice part.
You know, how about, let's see, pink muley grass?
Yeah, that's really nice.
That's Muhlenbergia.
Yeah. You're talking about a pink, beautiful.
And the pink part, it's not the leaves. Yeah, the pink part is the plume that it gets. and it's it could be used. This look, that's
it
another.
Like, it looks like cotton candy sometimes.
It does. Yeah, it does. It looks like pink cotton candy. Yeah. Carly Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Carly Rose is another penicillium that's right up there.
Yeah. Sounds like a celebrity.
Carly Rose?
Carly Rose, right?
That sounds like, you know, it's like, oh, I named my daughter Carly Rose.
Yeah. Oh, that may be like Ava Rose. You know? That's probably why she's a celebrity.
I don't know.
That's what it is.
Just an old man trying to talk about plants. Yeah. So, but again, use grasses. Go to your local garden center. Ask them questions. Grasses are a great addition to the landscape, and even if you have a very formal landscape, adding a grass in will help soften those areas, and it can take full sun, and it can be out there in the heat,
in
and
the
it
heat
does really well. Yeah. Maintenance is minimal.
You can't kill that.
Yeah. Maintenance is minimal.
My neighbor had a hedge. She made a hedge out of ornamental grass.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
There you go. That's pretty cool.
No, another and I guess they don't get big enough to really like block your neighbor like you know it's not like a replacement for you know Green Giant arborvitae 20
and then she's got
tall.
Them like surrounding her mailbox and they're about like I would say like 3 feet tall.
Yeah, most deer do not eat them.
Oh, that's another reason.
Hey, that's a segment coming up.
There you go.
That's it. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Wanting to up your game in the vegetable garden? With 90 years of organic gardening experience, the Espoma Company has you covered. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your average garden variety fertilizer. Garden Tone is especially blended for organic vegetable gardens. Its all-natural formula contains Biotone, a blend of organic ingredients that supplies essential nutrients for strong, healthy plants and mouth-watering vegetables. Its slow-release formula provides continuous feeding. The Biotone contained in Garden Tone is a combination of organic ingredients and beneficial microbes to help roots grow deeper and faster for bigger, more bountiful harvests. Garden Tone is simple to use and safe for people, pets, and the planet. No harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers are ever added. You can find Garden Tone at fine garden centers. Visit Espoma.com to find a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Last year, millions of Americans asked the internet about protecting their lawns and gardens. There's one simple answer: BioAdvanced. Because gardeners have trusted the Blue Bottle for decades. Invasive insects? Blue Bottle. Lawn fungus? Blue Bottle. Japanese beetles? Blue Bottle. A BioAdvanced answer for every question and guaranteed solutions for every problem. BioAdvanced. Get more from the Blue Bottle. BioAdvanced All-in-One Rose and Flower Care controls insects and diseases, plus feeds.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. We hear it all the time. I can't plant anything because the deer eat everything. Len and I have compiled a list of plants that are seldom or rarely eaten by deer, which is really, you know, something
super
that
helpful.
We're really aware of now because everybody comes in and, you know, the environment has changed around people's homes.
Right. And I was talking about, like, I never had deer before.
Yeah.
Just the other day. I mean, you know. I was talking to Aaron about where this one buck in the fall came out strutting out, like like looking like Bambi's father. And Aaron had steer, and he said, "Yeah, it's like they just got out of prison, all buff, you know,
like Kangaroo Jack's body on a deer. That's what it looks like."
I just a couple days ago, you know, a deer just popped out. Start chewing on some weeds. Thank you. Appreciated that.
Yeah, really.
But didn't care that I was there. Didn't, you know, just was like, Yeah, whatever.
My new home.
Don't buy, you know, you got any hostas?
Right. We got plenty at the garden center.
Deer ate one of my pansies, but I put down some deer repellent.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The rest of them, they're still there.
I'll tell you what, with deer, with this list, please call or text the hotline. Bloomers in the Garden hotline is 609-685-1880. We will send you through email, text, whatever. We'll send you a link to this list of plants that are resistant to deer. Okay, starting off, annuals. Mm-hmm. Annuals that are rarely damaged by deer.
Blue ageratum.
Right. The blue flower, and that there is a tall version of this that we have with our cutting garden plants. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Most people aren't aware that there's an ageratum that gets to be about 3 feet tall. But most of the ones that you're familiar with are usually about a foot.
That's it.
Flowering vinca.
Yeah.
Huge seller. So those of you that are growing vinca, keep on doing it because the deer aren't going to eat it.
Yeah, they're not going to take it. Dusty Miller.
Nice, great leaf. Yeah. Good color. Good contrast. Mm-hmm. Look, goes great with, say, New Guinea impatiens or sun patients.
Sure.
Nicotiana.
Wow.
Nicotiana is a tobacco plant. Mm-hmm. It's got a fuzzy leaf. A lot of plants with fuzzy leaves that they don't like. Mm. So that's something that would be easy to put in and safe. It's not the most ornamental, I would say, but it has, again, it's color, texture, form, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it has a little bit different texture than some of the other annuals.
Heliotrope. That's another one right there. That
they don't like blue.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Snapdragons.
Yeah.
Snapdragons. Alyssum.
Alyssum, yeah.
And calendula. That's listed on here. That's rarely found. It's all right. Okay. Not great. Now, this list is seldom severely damaged. So does that have you confused? It has me confused. Think of it this way, that it doesn't, they may nibble on it to take a taste, but they're not going to eat it. Mm-hmm. And that's celosia, marigolds, lobelia, right?
Yeah. Salvia.
Salvia. Yep. Now, there's different kinds of salvia these days.
Yeah,
you know, it used to be just, you know, firecrackers mm-hmm. and that they were red and that's all you could get. Now, there's all types of salvia. Verbena and zinnias.
Zinnia.
Again, zinnias have that fuzzy leaf.
Yeah.
That fuzzy leaf.
They don't like that.
If you're planting perennials, these are rarely damaged. And what's the first one, Julio?
Bleeding hearts. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, there's both types. There's the early season bleeding heart, and then there's the ever-blooming bleeding heart with has more of a fern leaf to it. I like those. There's the one that has an almost bluish color to the foliage.
Pretty.
Very pretty. Catmint.
Oh,
my gosh. Can we keep it in stock?
Oh, I know.
Catmint. Cat's pajamas.
Yep, cat's pajamas. They like that.
Oh, my gosh. It is. It has been the hottest plant this year for sure.
It has, yeah.
For sure. So, and that's catmint. Mm-hmm. Cordalis. It's always expensive.
Yeah.
But, we carry it. Mm-hmm. But it's... thank goodness they don't eat it. She'd be upset. Back to salvia again, and this is the perennial salvia, mm-hmm. Like May Night and those types of salvia.
Yeah.
Lamb's ear, fuzzy leaf.
Yeah, fuzzy again, yeah.
Fuzzy leaf.
Yeah.
Lavender.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's a great thing because lavender is sold quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The popular perennials, like lavender would be up there. Hosta would be up there. But hosta is like a delicacy.
For them.
So you gotta spray. Mm-hmm. You got to spray like Aaron did. Mm-hmm. Hellebores. Yeah. Want a ground cover? Evergreen ground cover that will flower early spring?
Yeah.
Hellebores. There you go.
Yeah, Allium. That's another one.
Ornamental onion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different alliums. Russian sage.
Oh, yeah.
Russian sage. Mm-hmm. I have actually that planted at the cemetery because there's so many deer in the cemetery. You know, it's a cemetery. Like, if you're looking for something to plant at the loved one's grave or something, Russian sage would be ideal. Silver Mountain. I'm kind of surprised at that.
Yeah.
Maybe it tickles her nose. Because it's super, super soft.
Like
everybody who goes by Silver Mountain, they pet it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's like look at a nice little plant. Little, you know, it's pet. Like Tribbles. Sam, you got a Tribbles, you know what I'm talking about?
Star Trek.
Yeah. That's what it's like. People like all of a sudden pet it and they get a little, you know, spaced out. It's true. Coreopsis. Wow. Couldn't be more popular plant.
Yeah.
Now this is one that's on the cusp of being a deer food. Asters.
Asters, yeah, how about that?
You know, Astilbe.
Astilbe, yeah.
Bee balm. Yeah. And what's the next one?
Black-eyed Susan.
Most popular of all.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, a deer would have to be really hungry to eat that. Yeah. Again, it's because that leaf's got a little bit of fuzz to it.
Yeah.
Butterfly weed. I walked in the building here today at the studio, and that we're going to walk right past a beautiful butterfly weed plant. So I'll tell you all about it. So again, you can, your pollinator gardens will be safe. Mm-hmm. Candy tuft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my bears.
Yeah.
Like that one?
Lobelia cardinal flower. Awesome plant. That's going to attract hummingbirds as well as butterflies. Yeah. Now, there's more to this list, but it's so long that we don't want to fill it up and bore you. But shrubs, barberry, the new varieties of worry-free barberry that are not invasive species, butterfly bush, same thing. Let's go down the list. Junipers. Most junipers are going to be resistant to that. That Pieris japonica, sometime. I'm like half tempted not to grow Pieris anymore.
Yeah.
It just has a tendency to die off. It's susceptible to a disease called Phytophthora.
Yeah.
But again, here we go. Japanese hollies, ink berries, hollies.
Yeah.
So any of the
Ilex.
Ilex series that you'd be able to do okay with. Creeping junipers, and again, it's just a list that you can get from us. So make sure you call the hotline. That's 609-685-1880. Yeah. Tell us your deer challenges. Yeah. We'll make sure we get you this list.
Yeah, sometimes they
like there's 75 plants
shrubs. Yeah,
so
you know when you look at the list, you say, oh, you know, I do have choices.
Absolutely.
You know, like...
You think you have one.
Yeah, you think you know, just because they eat your hostas doesn't mean they eat everything.
That's right. So, again, the one thing to do is on those where you have deer that are nibbling on your plants, just do like Aaron said, you do the repellent, but you have to, you're training animals' behavior to associate your home, your landscape... that it is not something for them. They don't want to go in that area. Mm-hmm. So, again, make sure that you're spraying your repellent and reapplying it often enough to modify the deer's behavior.
And it's organic, so you're not really harming the animal.
Right. And a trick we learned from Dr. Armitage is leave it out by the plant that you need to spray.
Right.
It's certainly easy enough to grab, pick up, and spray as opposed to, I got to go into the shed and I got to find it, or it's in the garage. And if you put it where the plants that they're nibbling, that makes it a whole lot easier.
Yep, that's right.
It's a whole lot easier.
Just hide it behind the plants.
And it does work if you reapply it. Okay, that's the thing. Everybody who says it doesn't work, how many times do you apply it? Oh, once?
Yeah, that's it.
Doesn't work. Doesn't work if you apply it once. You've got to modify their behavior. Anything to add, Julio?
No, this is a great list. I'm glad that they've, you know, researched this and given it to us so we can, you know, kind of guide the customer as to where to go.
Sure. And that where are... Again, this is available to you by calling the hotline. And again, that's 609-685-1880. And again, let us know your story, and that we'll make sure we get this list out to you right away. Mm-hmm. All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back, right in the garden after this. Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. We are proud to announce that Bloomers in the Garden has partnered with Renewal by Anderson of Greater Philadelphia, Delaware, South Jersey, and Southern Maryland. Renewal by Anderson is the top window and door company in the United States, specializing in replacement windows and doors. You might be thinking right now, what the heck do windows have to do with gardening? Well, Renewal by Anderson makes this beautiful garden bay window that's energy efficient and made from recycled materials. It's perfect for growing the finest indoor plants possible. When you are looking out your windows filled with plants in your beautiful garden, you don't want to see old windows that are cloudy, warped, or even rotting. That's why people in the horticulture community love Renewal by Anderson. Not only do we want our gardens to be beautiful, but their homes as well. Renewal by Anderson participates in horticultural events such as flower shows, earth days, and eco fairs. To get more information and set up a free home consultation, please visit www.philadelphiawindow.com. And be sure to tell them Bloomers in the Garden sent you. You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden. Hey, don't wait too long, or you're going to miss the chance to stop the damage caused by bagworms.
Oh, yeah.
Bagworms. Everybody thinks that bagworms are the same thing as tent caterpillar.
Yeah.
They are not. Yeah. They're not. Every fall, people say, oh, my tree has cones on it. How come there's cones all over my tree? Those are bugs.
Yeah.
They're immature, so that the adults lay their eggs now, and right now is when they're hatching. So they're becoming, they go and they start, they're little tiny, that's like more like a caterpillar thing, and it just covers itself with the pieces of the branches. And that, Aaron, I was looking for something for you about bagworm. I had caught a bagworm where it was just forming the bag. And it was climbing across a legal pad that I had.
Really?
And it shows, and that it's just gathering, and it covers itself with the foliage from the plant. So that's what makes it end up looking like this this little cone that goes all over your plant. You have to spray now.
Yeah.
You have to spray now. And there are a lot of plants, insects that you have to do at the right time. And right now is when you have to spray. If you had bagworm on your arborvitaes, on your blue spruce, on any of your plants, it's now the time, because you'll kill the hatched eggs that are starting to eat the plant. Because once they're in that little cocoon of a cone that people think is a cone, that they're safe from any spray. And it's frustrating, because you can't really control them after this point. And the only way you can do is mechanically. You have pick to them. Physically, right? Yep. You pick them, step on them, and crush them. Yeah. They're frustrating.
They are.
Because they're so unsightly.
Yeah,
and again, this is not tent caterpillar. Tent caterpillar Julio just got shorter. If you're looking on YouTube, you can watch Julio. He messed with his chair. Again, if you go on YouTube, please subscribe. And please, on any of the podcasts, please, please give us a 5-star rating.
I had a bagworm on my light pole.
Yes.
Incredible.
They will. They'll attach to different things. It's different weird.
Yeah,
it's
like, it is. Like, why did he end up there?
They're kind of like barnacles where they all of a sudden attach to things. But they can decimate plant material. If anybody has had them on arborvitae, they can strip them. They can strip those arborvitaes pretty quickly, and all of a sudden you end up with all cones because the arborvitae can no longer produce enough food through its foliage to survive. So they do kill plants. Spray. What am I going to spray it with, Julio?
You're going to spray it with eight.
Eight.
Yep, that's the one you want.
That's the one you want. And right. And again, they say about eight, well, you used to use seven, and eight is one better than seven. And that it does work, and it works very well. Yeah. It's been proven safe. There's a couple others that you could do, like the Rose Shield. If you want, there's RTUs that you can use, even a fruit tree plant guard. You can use triple action will work, but you have to reapply. You can't just let it go once.
Yeah, organic.
And then if you go to Captain Jack's or just go to honestly, most insect controls are going to work. But it all has to do with how long is it going to
last.
All right. For those of you that do have tent caterpillars, not bagworm, but the ones that form in that nest, they're starting to happen right now where all of a sudden there's these caterpillars that are coming out, and they're black and they're kind of hairy and they're climbing. They're all in that massive bag. First of all, you can't spray the tent or the bag that's made, that web bag. It's because you have to get inside to hit the insect. Now, I'm going to tell you what you can do. This may gross you out, but you take a stick and you stab it into the web and you spin it like cotton candy. And you end up having this like ball of caterpillars on the end of the stick. Julio does not like this idea, but it's the way it works. It works. If you want to get rid of them, this is one way to do it. And then you go ahead and you spray at that point, and make sure you spray the tree, because what happens? They escape out of that web, and they climb into the tree, and they start feeding, and then they breed, and then next year you've got, you know, instead of just one, you've got like a bunch. But you want to spray, and that will control them. And Aaron, if you want to step on them, no cucaracha, no. All right. Anyway, that you can. we're old school from down on the farm. It's kind of relaxed. Again, spraying would be the easiest way, because you have to get to the insect, just like how the bagworm is safe in that bag. The tent caterpillars are safe in that web. So you've got to get through, and you have to get to the insect. And that's what you got to do. If you've got questions, you know what to do. Call that hotline, 609-685-1880. We want to hear from you. Let us know where you listen to the program, and let us know where you're from.
Don't be shy.
We'll be right back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden.
Looking to get rid of those broadleaf weeds? Fertilome's Weed-Free Zone is a broadleaf post-emergent weed killer that kills 80 of the toughest broadleaf weeds in lawns and other areas in your yard. Fertilome's Weed-Free Zone is a fast-acting product. It's a cool weather performer in the 45 to 90 degree range. Fertilome's Weed-Free Zone is excellent for those tough weeds, including poison ivy, henbit, Virginia buttonweed, wild violet, thistle, dandelion, chickweed, spurge, and ground ivy. Fertilome's Weed-Free Zone is the go-to tough weed killer in the Fertilome product line. A proven cool weather performer you must have.
So,
the next time you visit your local independent garden center, ask for Fertilome's Weed-Free Zone and expect to have the best lawn and landscape in the neighborhood.
You're listening to Bloomers in the Garden Radio. Listen anytime through your favorite podcast provider or see and hear us by subscribing to Bloomers' YouTube channel. Bloomers in the Garden Radio is heard in Philadelphia and throughout the whole Delaware Valley every Saturday. First, wake up with us at 6 a.m. on WNWR The Word at 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. Tune in at 8 a.m. to Bloomers in the Garden Radio on Talk 860 WWDB. A rebroadcast of Bloomers in the Garden Radio is played each Saturday evening at 5 p.m. on The Word, 95.3 FM and 1540 AM. On Sunday at 8 a.m., we can be heard throughout the New York tri-state area on Classic Oldies, 1250 AM WMTR. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the garden.
Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Butterflies like the swallowtail are attracted to parsley, not to collect nectar, but to lay eggs. In our neck of the woods, the swallowtails, monarchs, are the most conspicuous. They are incredible.
They are. They are. I like swallowtails. And again, there's two different swallowtails that are the most common. There's the one that's black with a little bit of blue on its wings. They're big. Then there's the yellow tiger swallowtails. Partial to the tiger swallowtail. I love the monarch's story, which we'll get into. But again, I really like the swallowtails. Just, I don't know. They're just, they're just like floating artwork.
Yeah, they are.
You know? One thing.
They're very pretty.
Gosh, we need Aaron Cole Bobby Blue. Centerton Nursery has what's called caterpillar candy.
Candy, yes.
It used to be only out in the fall, but now it's available right now. Available at Bloomers Home and Garden Center.
Yeah, we have it.
And that what it is, it's a group of different plants that the caterpillars of butterflies eat. Like, for instance, we talked about parsley. We talked about there's dill that they'll eat. There's also, again, we're talking about milkweed for monarchs, that if you can't forget, like, it's not necessarily the pollination and that you get from the butterflies, like that was big, but hey, they've got to lay eggs. They've got to make another generation. So you're actually, you know, this is the first time, like, I guess we really want to encourage you to buy plants to feed to bugs
right.
without killing the bugs.
Yeah.
That being said, you've got to be careful not to spray inadvertently with your organic sprays or anything else because it'll kill the caterpillars of the butterflies. What does a butterfly egg look like? Like on a swallowtail, it looks almost like a tiny grape, like a really microscopic grape.
You can't see it.
It's green. It looks exactly like a green seedless grape. So if you have one of those that's sitting attached to the stem of your plant, that's a butterfly waiting to do its thing. Again, the different foods that the swallowtails like, dill, parsley, fennel, carrots, Queen Anne's lace. Queen Anne's lace is a very pretty, it's been a weed for most of its life, but
yeah.
It's got a great big round white disc flower.
I have them at my home.
You have them?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and that, did you look in the center of the, why they call it Queen Anne's lace,
yeah.
is a little black mark, and that's supposed to be Queen Anne.
Oh, Oh, it is?
Where the, you know, because if you look at like old pictures and if you're looking on YouTube, I'm holding my hands up. And it's like where they wear those collars, oh, that would be thing. Like a white collar. And it would be like I guess that's Queen Anne's head, in the middle of the flower.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, yeah. We're full of advice and information. Yeah. So, but again, the regular black swallowtails and that have that touch of blue. And then there's the tiger swallowtails. So some of the largest butterflies in our listening area, about 5 inches across on the wingspan. Just beautiful. Oh, yeah, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now let's talk about monarchs. Monarchs are amazing.
They are.
They typically only live for anywhere between 2 to 6 weeks. All right. This is can I have a God moment for a second? This is for me proof, okay, that from the natural world and science that God exists. Okay. Yeah,
there's no other
way. So bear with me here. You atheists, just listen. So what happens is that there's a generation of monarchs that fly to the United States from a Mexican forest. They lay eggs. Okay? I'm looking at Aaron for some reason. I don't know why I'm looking at you. I should be looking at the camera, right?
My head just popped up. They fly across the border. I'm sorry.
That's a show in the other studio. Anyway, they do. They're illegal aliens. Anyway.
All right.
It's pretty funny. Anyway, but what happens is that that generation dies that makes it across. You know, that's its first generation. There are up to 5 generations that go on these monarchs. So they live, they lay eggs, they die off, then the next generation comes. Then it keeps going until the final generation. Now that last generation, it creates a super generation that the monarchs are larger in that last generation and they have less of a hormone. It's like Julio, I think you have this hormone. It has less of a hormone that lets them live up to 8 times longer. It's like us living up to 400 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And that when it's time that to migrate north, that hormone kicks in and they lay eggs on the milkweed in your yard, but those eggs hatch and it starts the cycle all over again. But they fly back across they go different directions, okay? So that most of them go through Texas or Florida, okay? And they go through and they end up back into Mexico. And it's a super generation. And it's just amazing. Now, my proof here is like, all right, so prove to me God exists. How does that monarch who never has lived in Mexico know that it's supposed to go across, right? That it has to go across the Gulf of Mexico to some forest.
Same place where they came.
Where its ancestors came from.
Right.
I don't know. But again, intelligent design as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. All right, so.
Awesome.
When is a monarch not a monarch? It's when it's called a viceroy. There's a copycat. There's a copycat that this a monarch, right? Mm-hmm. That there's this wannabe. It looks almost exactly like a monarch, but it's a viceroy. Mm-hmm. And that, again, it takes on the look of the monarch so that insects and such or that will eat it or birds will avoid it. So it uses and steals basically the things that monarchs have because, again, what do monarchs feed off of when they're in their caterpillars?
Milkweed.
Milkweed. Milkweed is poisonous.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So the viceroys, they're a little smaller and that migrate.
They look like each other.
They actually the viceroys breed on willow as opposed to milkweed. And that they don't they don't go anywhere. They survive as caterpillars and have their numbers are stable. Mm-hmm. They don't need to take that trip. Mm-hmm. But monarchs?
Yeah. Ooh,
my goodness. I ain't five generations here in
pretty awesome.
And they know how to get back. Mm. How in the world? Same thing with hummingbirds.
Oh yeah.
Hummingbirds, you know,
yeah,
like
the little guys.
The hummingbirds fly back to, and they do fly southwest. Yeah. I tell you, it's an amazing world that we live in. We just need to open our eyes and look around.
Yeah, observe.
Again, get your hummingbird feeders out, because actually that your the butterflies will feed on it. Mm-hmm. Get into your local garden center. Come down to Bloomers.
Get milkweed.
Get your milkweed.
Yeah.
Go and get your caterpillar candy so that you can feed the, and that you'll become a destination.
Get your parsley too while you're at it.
Right. You'll become a destination for feeding the butterflies, and that, you know, that the caterpillars will grow and the butterflies will lay their eggs.
It's beautiful.
Get her done.
Yeah. You know, have your parsley, and all of a sudden, the next day you go out, and it's like half gone.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on?
Have two sets of parsley. Yeah, have the parsley somewhere else that you're feeding the butterflies with, maybe on a different side of the house, and then your parsley that's in your garden. You know, you have two different reasons for having it.
That's right.
All right. We're going to be right back in the garden talking about the cucumber beetles right after this.
Spring is here, and people have a lot of questions about Weed and Feed. There's one simple answer. Bio-Advanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Just one application kills lawn weeds and prevents new weeds and crabgrass up to 6 months. And if crabgrass is already growing, it kills that too. Plus, 5-in-1 feeds and greens your lawn. Bio-Advanced 5-in-1 Weed and Feed. Get more from the blue bag.
Here's the dirt on potting mixes. They're not all created equal. Espoma Organic Potting Mix gives roots the ideal balance of air and moisture. It contains a special blend of beneficial mycorrhiza to help grow stronger roots, bigger plants, and more bountiful blooms. Try Espoma Organic Potting Mix indoors and out for all your potted flowers, vegetables, and you'll see why it's the best. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Organic potting mix from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929. Welcome back to Bloomers in the Garden. Cucumber beetles.
Another one.
They are a secret disease carrier, and you just thought they eat your plants. I tell you, some insects are attractive. This is an attractive beetle that either has spots or stripes, but the problem is that it carries a disease in it, and that it's not just cucumbers that it gets into. It's cantaloupe, gourds, muskmelon, squash, zucchini, pumpkins. And that what they do is they also asparagus, beets, cabbage, corn.
They go through
and that they can do some damage just feeding on the stems and leaves, but it also carries a virus that you really can't control. Bacterial wilt, mosaic. It is awful. And what happens, if you've ever grown any of these plants, and during the summer, all of a sudden the plants collapse. Okay, that like the vines, like it's like somebody popped a balloon and they collapse. Wow. That is the disease which attacks the plant, because it's carried from the cucumber beetle. That the larvae feed on the underground portions of the plant, and they bore into the roots and the stems. Again, it's long beetles, and that they have stripes or spots on their wings. They're little grubs in the ground, that like little worms kind of thing. And that if you catch an infestation, you got to kill it early. And like we talk about timing all the time. Last week we were emphatic about controlling bagworm. And it's the same thing with these cucumber beetles, because it's not necessarily what they're feeding on, although that can be an issue. It has to do with the fact that they're spreading that virus. Like, for instance, we talk about rose mosaic all the time. Yeah. Rose mosaic is not spread by spores and things. It's spread by an insect, by a mite. And that gives it to the next rose and the next rose and the next rose. And if you don't control that mite and kill it,
you're done.
Your rose is going to be dead. And that's kind of how your cucumbers are going to be. So you need to make sure you're spraying for cucumber beetles, and you're going to look and you identify what it looks like. And if you have any questions about this, please call the hotline. It's 609-685-1880, and we'll help you to identify what they look like. Go to your local garden center. They can help you there. But again, call the hotline, and we'd be more than happy to give you a hand. Anything to add, Holy? It's one of those books. You just need to get it. Just need to do it.
Yeah,
you just need to do it.
Yeah. You got to get to it, because if you don't, like you're saying, it's going to take the whole crop.
Right. And Triple Action will work, which is an organic. Right. Yeah. Monite has a 3-in-1 veggie, which is basically sulfur and pyrethrin. It does work. But again, you got to get them early. Don't wait till there's 20. You know, rolling around, because they've already laid eggs. Yeah. You need to control not the adults before they lay the eggs in the soil. So I'll tell you what, it's just need to do it. You just need to do it mm-hmm. or you're going to say, I can never grow cucumbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you give up.
Right? All right. We'll be back in the garden right after this. Hi, this is Len Schroeder from Bloomers in the Garden. Do you have a landscape, garden, or plant question? If so, call or text us using the Bloomers in the Garden hotline. Dial 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. Don't be shy. We want to hear from you. Call or text us and let us know what problems you're facing. Let us know how we're doing. Call or text 609-685-1880. If we use your comment on the air, we'll send you a free Bloomers t-shirt. Call or text us at 609-685-1880. That's 609-685-1880. And we'll see you in the garden. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Lots of technical stuff the last couple of shows.
Yes, we have.
Call the hotline, 609-685-1880. Mm-hmm. If you want to see about some of the things that we have in the studio with us, please go on to YouTube.
Yes,
please subscribe. And if you're listening to us on podcast, please, would you subscribe and give us a 5-star review? It helps us. It helps our sponsors, which help us. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next week right here, the same time, on Bloomers in the Garden. See you in the garden.
See you in the garden.